You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. We want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Ask the Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé and myself, DJ Ambush, and our additional co-host, Dr. Evans, is joining us for this special episode. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. It's good to see you twice in a week. I feel like I should go and buy a lottery ticket. But I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. Just complaints.
Yes, good. I'm happy we were able to get another episode in this week, especially with the topic at hand. You know, it's a hot topic right now. I wish it wasn't. I really do wish it wasn't, but it is. And you know, we have the responsibility and the overall ability to make sure we're hopping on things as soon as people are concerned about it. And as you all are concerned about it, want to make sure we get the information out. So, which one of our hosts would like to introduce the guest for today, a returning guest?
So joining us today is Dr. Richard Lehman. He is one of the CMOs at OHA. He's a friend and a mentor and a sage. Welcome, Dr. Lehman. How are you today?
I'm blushing. So I'm doing fine. Thanks. Good to be here.
Yes. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lehman. So this is our 51st episode. We're talking about monkeypox. We want to know what's happening out here. We've been covering COVID and many other things, but primarily COVID throughout the series. But monkeypox is here. It's all everyone's talking about. So I guess first things first, should we be worried, and how worried should we be about monkeypox?
You know, I should state, I should have stated this from the get-go, right, that we have two excellent resources on the show today, in that one, Chris Evans, Dr. Evans, is an ID doc, and this is one of the things that he specializes in, and the lead person for the state of Oregon for monkeypox response is the senior health advisor, I guess, if I could call you that, Dr. Lehman. He's our expert on that, so I'll turf the question to him.
Okay, so should we all be worried about monkeypox? I guess for me, I don't really think so. We don't have any cases of monkeypox in Oregon. I think last report was 19 cases in the entire U.S. I think, though, it's worth being aware of these things. And we know it's been in the news, and I think that's one reason Bukasi and Ambush wanted to share this information. But yeah, we don't have any cases in Oregon at this point. And this is not, and I guess I would also just say, this is not an easy disease to catch.
Yeah. So I'll also say that there have been cases, though, in Washington, the state of Washington. There's one case in the state of Washington, I think one case in California. And people are worried that it's going to end up in Oregon.
Absolutely.
And it's rightly so, right? It's also because the media is playing this up as the next scary infectious disease. I think it's appropriate that we're talking about it.
I think so too. And just sharing the information. But again, I guess I would just say, with COVID, which we've talked a lot about on this show, it's pretty easy to catch. And, you know, for every person who has COVID, if you don't do anything with some of these more recent strains of COVID, for every person who's sick, if you don't do anything, like 6 or 7 people potentially are going to get sick. With monkeypox, for every person who's sick, maybe 2 additional people will get sick, because it's just, it's harder to catch. And I think during the course of the show, we'll be talking about how monkeypox can be spread, and it's different. It's different from COVID.
And I would just add what Dr. Lehman said. I think as infectious disease doctors, I think there are 2 things that we sort of categorize: how easy it is to spread, and if you get it, how likely you are to get sick and die. And I think, as Dr. Lehman said, it's very difficult to spread to a lot of folks. And so, you know, it doesn't have a high transmission rate. And 2, the cases that we've seen so far have been mild. And so I think those 2 things makes, at least this time, most people less worried. I think we're more worried about COVID, because that still causes very high mortality in folks, especially if you have underlying conditions. And so I think that's where, for me right now, the public health focus should be, even though as scary as monkeypox sounds to the public.
I want to urge our listeners to continue to listen to the episode, because if you're like me, you heard the 2 things that made you want to cut the episode off, because I've heard enough. 1, it's not easily transmissible. 2, the cases have been mild, and I'm done. All my concerns have dissipated, and I can.
We should have saved that.
But no, it's good to get that, you know, to get that information, because just hearing those 2 things, I'm not going to lie, and I may be able to review the video later. My shoulders dropped. The amount of stress around this topic was just like, okay, it will take a nice deep breath. Okay, great. Okay, that's good. Thank you so much. So there have been, you know, so vaccines have been a hot topic just with regards to COVID and us becoming more, getting more used to the idea of getting boosted every 5 months. You know, previous to that, the only vaccine, not the only vaccines, but the primary vaccines that we were used to getting annually were flu vaccines. So now vaccines are just the hot topic. Should we be thinking about vaccines for monkeypox? Is there a vaccine?
At this point, there is. I don't believe there is a vaccine available for monkeypox, and there's no recommendation for vaccination at this point. So, which is, I think it should help us relax, kind of like what DJ Ambush just said, right? We're it's not a big enough concern that we should be all rushing out there to get a vaccine.
Yeah, and I guess I would just add, you're right, Bukosi. I mean, there's no vaccine recommended at this point. Interestingly enough, though, there is a supply of a vaccine that we can use. And actually, it's not just like an investigational thing. This is like an FDA approved vaccine for monkeypox that we could use if we needed to, but it just doesn't make sense right now. I think we would use it here in Oregon, and Dr. Evans, you know, feel free to chime in, but if indeed we had a case and we had people who were exposed to that person, and we thought they were at pretty high risk for developing monkeypox, this is kind of a neat vaccine, because you can use this after somebody's been exposed. And if they get it within 4 days of being exposed, it may help prevent them from getting sick at all.
Wow.
And if they get it within 2 weeks, so 14 days of exposure, it may not completely prevent the disease, but it may make it so that the disease is even milder than it would have been. And it's just a simple shot. You get a first dose, you get another dose in 4 weeks, and you're done. That's called Jynneos, and we could get that from the federal government if indeed we end up having any cases?
Yeah, as Dr. Heumann said, I mean, these are not things that you're going to be able to call your provider and ask for a vaccine or go to your local CVS and ask for a vaccine. These are things that are kept under high regulatory control with the federal government, at the CDC. There are different control gates to get access to these medications. And so I think, you know, if someone was concerned that they either got exposed or they had symptoms of monkeypox, this is the sort of thing that you would first discuss with your healthcare provider, who would probably alert the health authority. There would be an investigation. We would definitely, if you had symptoms consistent with monkeypox, then, you know, try to get the appropriate treatments as well as do the contact tracing for anyone that you would have been in contact with. So there's definitely a system that's set up. I think we've learned a lot from COVID how important it is to have these systems in place. But again, just to emphasize, this is not something you're going to be able to get at your local CVS or Fred Meyer store.
Yeah, and I would add to that, Dr. Evans, we have a lab right here in the state that can do the necessary testing for this. And that's the state public health lab. Dr. Dubé, you know, you're familiar with that state public health lab, and they can actually do testing that will tell us enough as to whether somebody has this virus, has infection from this virus or not.
So speaking of lab work and that, I think it'll be appropriate for us to share the story of why it is so named, right? Why this is called monkeypox.
It's a really neat story.
Please indulge us.
Well, okay. So this is kind of an interesting story. So back in 1958, which is a great year. That's when I was born. there was a research lab, and they had a bunch of monkeys. This was in Denmark. And the monkeys started getting sick. And so they weren't sure what was going on. And as it turned out, these monkeys had a virus that had never been seen before. And so they called it monkeypox. And monkeys we don't think monkeys really all that commonly carry this, but they just happen to be sick with it. It seems like in areas where this circulates, it's more often in rodents. But because the first time it was ever seen, it was infection in monkeys, they called it monkeypox. And actually, the first time it ever was known to cause illness in humans was not until 1970. But this is a virus we've known about for a while. How'd I do, Bukosi?
Awesome. I like the story.
Nailed it. So monkeypox, I've heard of chickenpox and smallpox. Are there similarities?
There's cowpox. It's a whole family of viruses that sort of has this big umbrella. I know, right? it's a family of DNA viruses, and you know, there are different vectors, different things, different animals that can have these infections. And again, as Othman was saying, this is not something monkeypox specifically that we've seen in humans. Years ago, we had smallpox. And of course, you know, due to amazing public health interventions and vaccines, we've now eradicated smallpox. So, you know, we've come a long way for this. But yeah, we've seen pox viruses in past history. And so this is not something, a totally, totally new virus in that sense.
Yeah, and this is in the same, it's related to smallpox, but it is not smallpox.
It still presents in a similar way, whether you're getting something on the skin. How would we know? What does monkeypox actually look like?
Okay, so typically monkeypox starts with somebody getting a fever, and often they might have headache or muscle aches, And then within a day or two, maybe three, they start getting a rash. And the rash is kind of the hallmark of monkeypox. And it starts with just sort of flat patches that get kind of red. And then in that area, you start getting a bump, a firm lump or nodule. And that's the pox that Dr. Evans is talking about. And then that can sometimes sort of get a little dimple in the top of it. And these are pretty big. I mean, these are sometimes as big around as like the tip of your little finger. So they're big, they're firm, they're not really like a lot of other things. They also then can break open. Well, first they fill with some fluid or pus, and then they might break open and they get a crust on them, and then they just fall off. And that usually takes about 2 to 4 weeks for that whole process to happen. The other thing I'd mention is, and that's kind of unusual with monkeypox compared to other rashes, is people often have lymph nodes that get swollen. And that's something you wouldn't usually see with chickenpox, say, that Dr. Evans was talking about, or other more common rashes. So having swollen lymph nodes that might be painful, that's weird with a rash like this. And so that might make you think a little bit more about monkeypox.
And just to follow what Dr. Lehman said, I think just in general, and this is just my plug for vaccinations, that you're probably more likely to see chickenpox than to see monkeypox at this time. Oh, yeah. And so I really think, you know, we do have a vaccine against chickenpox. And so I really would emphasize that, you know, just in good public health sort of prevention, that if you haven't gotten chickenpox as a kiddo or you've not gotten the vaccine, this would be a good time, just in terms of just prevention, to consider getting your varicella vaccine.
Oh, wow. What a great message. And, you know, that is so true. And, you know, now kids in general get the chickenpox vaccine and they can be protected. But there are a lot of people who are older and it wasn't around then. Some of them may have gotten chickenpox, but some of them may not have. And I just think of the story of Patsy Mink. This was this great woman who was a congresswoman from Hawaii. And she was like the power behind Title IX, which made it so that, you know, women's sports could, and not just in sports, but that, you know, women had equal footing in education. And she was 74. She had not been vaccinated. She got chickenpox and she died because it went to her lungs. And it's a tragedy, and it's a public health failure because she didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I like that. I like how you share that story because it highlights how deadly these viruses can be. Chickenpox, which is usually a benign disease in kids, right? But as we all get older, if we were to get diseases like chickenpox, they can be fatal. They can be very, very serious in adults. So this is a plea to go out there and get vaccinated, not just for COVID, right? For all your other vaccine needs, like Dr. Evans said.
Yeah, it is unfortunately just a nastier disease in adults.
And to reiterate, please do not go out there asking your provider for a monkeypox vaccine. We're talking about chickenpox. Please go ahead and get that. Ask that. I've never had chickenpox. I know there were some friends in elementary school that had it. I never had chickenpox. I believe I'm vaccinated. I'm going to need to double check that and make that
happen. It's worth checking. It's worth checking. Yeah. My sister had it in her 40s, and it was no picnic.
Yes, some of us grew up in the era of when someone, if a neighborhood kid had chicken pox, would all go over to their house and get it, so that we that was our form of inoculation back in the '80s.
Man, okay, that makes sense. So with chicken pox, you had to touch the person, right? There were the fluid, the pus, any of that. Like, there needed to be physical contact. How is monkeypox spread?
So, yeah, go ahead.
So I was going to say it's similar to in that you have to come into contact with someone who's ill with monkeypox, or come into contact with things that they have been in contact with, especially like you said, when the pox erupts and the pus comes out and the fluid comes out, and if you were to come into contact with that fluid, then you would get monkeypox in that way.
Yeah, and getting back to what Dr. Evans had said, historically, you know, usually this has been something that people get from exposure to animals, either handling a sick animal or, and this is, so this is not this current outbreak, but traditionally that's been the way it's been, either eating infected meat or touching an infected sick animal, often rodents. And so that's the way it usually happens. It can be transmitted from person to person. And as Dr. Dubé said, it's often from contact directly with like fluid from one of these wounds. But close skin to skin contact can also do this. There is some evidence, this isn't as common, but that if somebody has lesions, somebody has pox in their mouth, they could potentially, when they cough or sneeze, droplets could spread. But it looks like, because this is tougher to catch, you need to be exposed to somebody in that setting close face to face for like 3 hours or more for it to spread that way. It takes maybe somewhat less time, minutes to hours, for the skin-to-skin contact that Dr. Dubé was talking about.
It's thought that if, you know, it does appear in these droplets, it's going to be large droplets. And I just give you context to, you know, COVID, you know, we think, you know, just when we had our 6 feet plus rule, you know, we think, you know, some of these infectious viruses and so forth can be carried on smaller particles. You know, they travel further. So as Dr. Lehman was saying, it's going to be, if possible, if a respiratory droplet, it's going to be someone who you're in much, much closer contact with, either skin to skin or just face to face. And these are more large droplets and, of course, prolonged time for specifically the respiratory droplets.
Who's most at risk for contracting monkeypox? Is this a situation where, you know, people with pre-existing conditions should be more leery? Is it easier to contract for younger people, older people? Like, who's most at risk for monkeypox?
Well, I guess based on the way that it spreads, in this current situation, it really seems like folks who have skin-to-skin contact, because most of the folks in this outbreak, the big majority, have reported skin-to-skin contact, like during sex. And so if somebody has close skin-to-skin contact with other people, and like a large number of other people, and any of those people are ill, you know, with a rash, or they've been in countries where this is more common than it's been in the U.S., like United Kingdom and Spain and Portugal have seen more cases, then those would be people who'd be maybe at more risk of actually getting this infection at all. Because right now, so far as we know, we don't have any cases in Oregon. I guess another question is, who might be at more risk for severe disease if they get it? And that would include people who are immunocompromised, that is, their immune systems aren't quite working as well. Also, young kids younger than 8, unfortunately, seem to get more severe disease if they do get this. And if somebody's pregnant, it's possible for this to get transmitted to the unborn child, and nobody wants that. So that's another situation where if those people can just avoid that kind of close skin-to-skin contact with somebody who they don't really know that well, or somebody who is ill and who has recently traveled to one of those countries, that's a good way to prevent it.
So first thing, thank you for that explanation. Is that what's qualified, I guess, as prolonged contact? Because I was also hearing that phrase too.
So if we're talking skin-to-skin contact, I think we're talking minutes to hours. If we're talking the face-to-face, close face-to-face contact that that Dr. Evans was talking about, we're thinking like maybe 3 hours.
Okay. All right. So you said a little bit earlier, as far as we know now, there are no cases in Oregon. How right. would we find out? What are the detections for that? Is it just waiting for someone to come into a hospital? How exactly are we monitoring, and how do physicians find out when we start having cases?
Okay. So as Dr. Evans mentioned, a lot of the folks who are getting monkeypox in this outbreak in other countries and in other states have pretty mild disease, and they're not ending up in the hospital, which is good. So what we've tried to do is share information with doctors and nurse practitioners and so on about what this can look like and what the symptoms would be and what the rash might look like. And then we ask them to call us at the state health department and or at their local health department. And we can then work with the public health lab to make sure that folks who maybe have a rash that's typical and they have like contact with somebody who was ill with monkeypox, they know that, or they know that they had contact with somebody who had a similar illness, or they had close skin-to-skin contact with a bunch of people in the previous 3 weeks or so, because that's the amount of time we think it takes from being exposed to monkeypox virus to developing illness. If somebody's had any of those things, or they've been to a place where like more monkeypox illness is happening, in those cases, we can go ahead and get testing done through the state public health lab. And then that's what'll tell us definitely this person has monkeypox because of the laboratory testing that Dr. Dubé was talking about.
And DJ Ambush, I just wanted to add one more thing too. I think, as you know, with any kind of infectious disease, epidemiology matters, and you know, where do we see it? Who's getting it? Who's most at risk? You know, so far, most of the cases we've seen have been in men who have sex with men. But one thing we've learned from infectious diseases is that, you know, it is in no way correct to stigmatize anyone in any community. Infectious diseases don't have a political affiliation. They don't have a political skin color, and neither do they have a particular sort of, you know, lack of infection in other communities. So I think, you know, infectious diseases take hold where, and they get passed from person to person. But I think it's just really important to recognize where we're seeing it. But again, I don't think that in any way we should think that this is just limited to this specific community, because again, it, given an opportunity, viruses don't care. They will infect anyone given the right situation. And so I think it's really important to recognize that and to make sure that we do not stigmatize anyone from any specific community.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I really like that, because we talked about how and just when we were talking earlier, we talked about the coronavirus not needing a passport, not needing, you know, a visa, not needing all these things to cross boundaries, right? It knows no boundaries. And it's true with any other virus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are there any, so you mentioned someone possibly getting it in their mouth, which I didn't even think that was a possibility. Thank you for giving me that picture. Are there any long-term effects from contracting monkeypox? Is there anything that once, I'm sure there's going to be scarring, definitely. Outside of that, are there any long-term effects from monkeypox? Are we aware of any yet?
Yeah, well, and again, this is not a new virus, you know, with COVID, that was a new type of coronavirus we hadn't seen before. And in this case, we're dealing with a virus that's been around a while with the monkeypox and this particular strain of monkeypox that's circulating. And it tends to cause milder disease than the other main strain. And there is that likelihood of scarring, but I have not heard about other long-term problems from it. If you're kind of thinking long COVID ambush, haven't heard anything along those lines, but you know, there can be scarring. And I guess one problem would be if you had a pox and it got in your eye, then that could potentially affect your vision.
Another visual image I didn't anticipate.
Sorry.
No, you are nailing it. Because at the end of the day, this is still something we don't need to be extremely worried about right now. It's not very easily spread. And in most cases, it's mild.
Yeah, I'm reminded of one of my mentors, and she said, when you are the one out of 100,000, the rate is too high. Because you don't wish this on anybody, but fortunately for all of us, this is a rare thing. But you know, you just feel bad for the people who are getting this.
Yeah, shout out to the media for playing this up, and thank you all for calming my nerves and the nerves of everyone that will be hearing this episode.
Well, you know, people in the media are people too.
Yeah.
They're human. Yeah. And they get scared. They get scared. And they've just been through a pandemic, for gosh sakes. So
true.
I get it. But happily, this is not the next pandemic.
Final question. And I'm going to assume that my Instagram degree would be qualification enough to answer it. But what are the best ways to protect myself and family from monkeypox? I would like to start by answering, you know, wash your hands, stay away from anyone that's infected, things of that nature. Is there anything else that we should be thinking about?
Boy, that sounds like it to me, but.
I was going to say, you knocked it out of the ballpark, DJ Ambush.
All right.
Yeah, and I guess I would just review and, you know, not to, you know, hammer this into the ground, but no cases in Oregon. The risk of transmission from this is low, but to make it even lower, just avoiding close contact with people who are ill with fever and a rash, particularly in areas where monkeypox is circulating. So if somebody's going to Portugal or Spain or United Kingdom, you know, just watch what you do.
This is good. Yeah, this feels like just, you know, a one-stop shop. Talk about it. Everyone feels a lot better at the end of the episode. I feel like we accomplished a lot. I feel like we accomplished a lot. We're going to make sure we get some mini clips of this out and then get it out for people to get little bite-sized information from this episode. Thank you all so much for joining us for a second taping in this week. And please, enjoy the rest of your week. We're Friday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yep.
We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Sounds right. Good.
Thank you. Right,
thanks so much.
Thank you. Adios.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.